I am grateful to Susan for the invitation and opportunity to preach today. If you know anything about us preachers, it's not easy to give up your pulpit to another. So it's a real act of kindness and charity, and I'm grateful, and grateful for you to gather this day and worship. Would you please stand for the reading of the gospel? Some Sadducees, those who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him a question. Teacher, Moses wrote for us that if a man's brother dies, leaving a wife but no children, the man shall marry the widow and raise up children for his brother. Now there were seven brothers. The first married and died childless. Then the second and the third married her, and so on in the same way, all seven died childless. Finally, the woman also died. In the resurrection, therefore, whose wife shall the woman be? For the seven had married her. Jesus said to them, those who belong to this age marry and are given in marriage, but those who are considered worthy of a place in that age and in the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage. Indeed, they cannot die anymore because they are like angels and are children of God, being children of the resurrection. And the fact that the dead are raised, Moses himself showed in the story about the bush, where he speaks of the Lord as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now he is God not of the dead, but of the living. For to him, all of them are alive. The Gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. Please be seated. May you live in interesting times. You may have heard those words before. They are purported to be a Chinese curse that takes the unexpected form of a blessing. Now, there is no evidence that they actually come from a Chinese source. No one knows who originally penned them or attributed them to the Chinese. And they probably didn't do so for salutary reasons. Yet there's something about this curse that takes the form of a blessing that seems to me to be right. On the one hand, to live in interesting times is promising. To live in times that are new and unique and unprecedented brings a kind of exhilaration. Who wants the same old, same old? How terrible simply to live in boring times. But on the other hand, to live in interesting times, to live in the unprecedented, the unexpected is disorienting, destabilizing. We need the ordinary for the smooth functioning of everyday life. And when the ordinary is destabilized, we're not sure how to go on, what to do next. I think it's safe to say that all of us who woke up this morning realize we live in interesting times. Unprecedented, novel, disorienting. Some climate scientists tell us that by our grandchildren's generation, worst case scenario, the Earth could possibly be uninhabitable. David Wallace Wells reports a story about a climate scientist who is so convinced we're on the precipice of disaster and that it's too late to do anything that he left the university, sold everything he had, moved to Belize, and there he created a hedonistic community where people join him to live, eat, drink, and be merry until the inevitable slide into that disaster. Economists tell us that global inequality has risen to levels not known since before the American and French revolutions, when we tried to fashion our politics and economics on the basis of liberty and equality. Authoritarian governments are on the rise throughout the globe. We face a refugee and migrant crisis unknown since World War II. And some political, cultural, and even religious leaders are openly discussing civil war. And then there's the church. Some churches have already divided. Most are fighting among themselves. Our own United Methodist Church seems bent on dividing, and who knows what that will mean for us as we gather together and worship. It seems as swift we've been cursed or blessed to live in interesting times. And if you think about it or read too much about it, as I tend to do, it can prompt you towards despair. You might decide to join that community in Belize. But don't pack your bags too quickly, because you already know, as people who gather in this place, that an essential element of our faith is hope. And despair is always a sin against the Holy Spirit. The wonderful thing about gathering in this place and worshiping God Sunday after Sunday is that we gather in expectation that God might do something unexpected. It was this sense of hope that sustained Israel. All their identity markers had been taken away. They lost their land, they lost their government, they lost their places of worship, the temple was destroyed, the people themselves were scattered throughout the nations. And there, rather than despair, they learned a new way to pray, a new form of expectation. Next year in Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem, God will show up again and gather us, restore us. God has not abandoned us. When the prophet Haggai prophesies, he writes at the time of that restoration, and he tells them, your exile's coming to an end. Gather in Jerusalem, for God will show up. And prophecies like interesting times always do something unexpected, something novel, something you couldn't have anticipated. Haggai tells them, even though you're the least among all the nations, no one even knows who you are, when God shows up, the wealth of nations will be brought to you, because I am the one who possesses the wealth of nations, and I will distribute it as I see fit. Prophecies, like interesting times, disorient us. And if we think that the future is nothing but the progressive extrapolation of the present into the next generation, it would be cause for despair. But God does an unexpected work and provides hope. I think the Sadducees, who were a group of Jews that refused to believe in the resurrection when others did, could only see the future as the extrapolation of the present into the next generation. So they think they have a sure argument against the resurrection to Jesus. They bring their case before him and they say, now look, Jesus, there was this woman. She married a man who had 6 brothers. He died. The other brother married her to fulfill his religious obligations, then he died, and it kept going on and going on and going on until all 7 brothers had married her, and then she died. Now, whose wife is she going to be in the resurrection? You see, they can only think of resurrection life as this continuation of the present into the future. And you can imagine that this woman herself is a little bit alarmed about this prospect. Having taken care of seven different men in this time, the last thing she wants to do is attend to all seven for eternity. But Jesus says to them, you got it all wrong. Resurrection life is not just the continuation of this age into that age. Resurrection life is that age coming into this age, transforming it, changing it, shaping it. It's an unexpected thing. It's something you haven't seen. And they didn't seem to have the eyes to see the world as it should be, but only the world as it is. We gather in this place because we know that the world as it is not always as it should be. And when you see the world as it is, what do we see? One possibility is we simply refuse to look at the world as it is. We live in enclaves. We live in safety and security, assuming that everything is okay. And we live in denial until the unexpected catches us by surprise. That cannot be the way of faith and hope. Another possibility is to see the world as it is and realize it is not as it should be, but to think that the world as it should be, that age, simply doesn't exist. So we do all we can to be reconciled to the world as it is, refusing hope. That can't be the way of faith and hope. Or we see the world as it is. Recognize it is not as it should be, that something is out of joint. And we also recognize that the world as it should be does exist. That age is breaking into this age, waiting to transform it, waiting to be born. All of creation groans for its fulfillment in that age. And isn't that why we gather in worship? That we get a sense of that age, even here present in this age, as we do things which really are almost nonsensical. Proclaim that we've heard the word of God, gather around this table and share in the wealth of nations as it's distributed to us. That age is breaking into this age, even now. And that should not suggest any form of escapism, as if we abandon this age because we know that there's that age. Oh, quite the contrary. For God so loved this age that he gave us that age. So it requires us to be all the more concerned about the care of creation. Even if all the climate scientists are wrong, which I don't think they are, but even if they were, we should care for creation. For how we tend to creation says something about whether or not we love its creator. We should care about inequality because we know that God is the one who possesses the wealth of nations and desires that they should be shared. We should stand up against those who only know power and violence and refuse truth and goodness, because we know when we gather here, the truth and goodness define the character of God. We should welcome the refugee in whatever way we can. For Jesus has told us that in welcoming them, we welcome him. That age, always breaking into this age. You see, we live in two ages. It is November the 10th. We live in this age, undoubtedly. But it's also the 22nd Sunday after Pentecost in ordinary time. Two Sundays before we celebrate Christ the King Sunday, which I love. And then we begin again the season of Advent. Advent, which literally means coming to. In this ordinary time, or we wear green because it's like ordinary. This ordinary time is actually where we figure out how we relate this age to that age, acknowledging there is something coming to us. Something coming to us unexpected, something coming to us that will be interesting and unprecedented, and what appears to be a curse, even the death of God on a cross, turns out to be a blessing, the death of death itself. So we receive that which is coming in faith, and faith drives out all despair, filling us with hope, and hope always prompts us to love. May it be so. Amen.